are you today?
Every day is a great day to hear you.
How is your day? How is your weekend going on?
It's alright, it's just too cold.
Oh,
very,
really?
Very cold, yeah, for me it's, I think that after November and up to April, I think that it is unbearable. And you, how is
it? I'm doing great. I have finally informed my boss about my leaving. Mm-hmm. So
congratulations.
And, yeah, thank you. And I guess that was the best day of the last week. Because I finally...
How did it feel like?
You know, I was very much afraid to do that, to break the news, because I'm such a coward. I'm just afraid mm-hmm. to say things like that. But I just made up my mind early in the morning. I even washed my hair. So I was like...
That means that you mean business, right?
Well, yeah, I try to stay focused to follow this uh-huh. goal, you know, and then when I came to work and my boss was so happy, he was talking about something. And then when there were only two of us left and I said, okay, I have something to tell you. I'm leaving in 2 weeks. He was very surprised. He was like, what? What? So he was very surprised. But of course, I had to invent a story so that no further questions could be asked. I said that mm-hmm. I found a better job. I was torn between telling the truth, and the truth is, I'm just allergic to the office job and I don't want to work in the office no more. And the story, the legend is that I just found a better job. And I was not sure whether I should tell the truth or whether I should invent a story and tell them that I found a better job. But then finally, I talked to my friend and she said, if you tell them that you are allergic to the office job, they would not understand. Tell them that you found a better job, so no further questions will be asked. And I said, okay, I found a better job. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay. And then in half an hour, my colleagues started asking me in Skype and in social networks, why are you leaving? Is that true that you are leaving? So I knew that I was the center of attention on Friday. Mm-hmm. I finally survived, and I know that this is the right thing to do, and I'm very excited about it. So dear listeners, you can congratulate me on finally finding courage and mm-hmm. breaking the news to my boss. So.
Yeah, we congratulate you.
Thank you. I also visited Lady Gaga's concert last Sunday.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And it was really fantastic. The show was really spectacular. It was very professional. The scenery, and it had its own storyline. It had a plot. Mm-hmm. The performance had a plot. And, of course, the dancers, the music, the acoustic versions of my favorite songs, everything was really great. I also think that Lady Gaga is a wonderful performer, not only because she's a talented singer and the author of her songs, but also because she has a message. In between her songs, she spread that message. She tried to make the audience understand that she's singing not because it's her job, but also because she has something to tell, something to follow, you know. And I really liked her message, which was about just being tolerant and treating each other with dignity and with respect. But a couple of days after the concert, I was reading the news. I read that there are people in Russia who sued Lady Gaga for breaking the law. They said that it was a kind of a propaganda for homosexual relationship. So she was promoting that kind of thing, which is absolutely not true, because I was on the concert and I was probably one of the few people who understood what she was talking about. And she was talking about being tolerant. She was talking about respecting people around you. She didn't say anything of that kind. I was a bit disappointed that people mistreat and misunderstand. Mm-hmm. They're very simple things. But anyway, those of you who have the possibility, you can watch her videos on YouTube. It's really great.
Well, nothing so spectacular here in Vision Italy. The only thing, actually, I had a dream. If you remember the actor Gerard Butler.
Yeah, yes, of course. London, yes.
I saw him in my dream, and it was so bizarre. He was like a taxi driver. And
I think he could make a very good taxi driver.
I think so. I think that at some point he just had to shout Sparta. Yeah. I have a strange brain. When I watch something or read something just before going to sleep, I immediately dream that thing, whether it is a film or a TV show or even news or a book. The plot line, even the some characters, are always in my dreams. Sometimes it's very disconcerting. right, dear listeners, welcome to our weekly podcast. I present you the busiest bee in St. Petersburg Hive, whose mind races at such a great speed it should go to the Olympics and bring us the Olympic gold.
Oh my god.
Joan Powell's imaginary mistress, the one and only Asia.
Oh my god, this is great.
And under a deep pile of snow, starting to wonder if she should begin burning her books to keep warm, the girl whose name rhymes only with Pudish, Landish.
Anyway, dear listeners, today we start our hopefully regular interviews. Of course, we will not conduct these interviews every week, but probably and hopefully once a month or maybe twice a month. We will invite interesting and promising people in our imaginary studio and ask the most unimaginable questions. And we have decided to start with ourselves. And today Landish is going to be our star. And I'm going to interview her and ask unusual questions about her personality, her biography, and everything somehow related to Landish. Okay? So, Landish, are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay, and just to start with, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, about your history. Just tell us a little bit about your childhood, when and how you were born.
My childhood, it wasn't very interesting. Probably the most interesting thing, my mother decided to make me attend music classes because I was quite a musical child. I actually sing. She decided to give me to the musical school and not just, I don't know, some piano, yeah, violin. No, she decided to give me bayan, yeah, as we say, it's accordion. Type of
great.
Thing.
Very random, I think, choice was.
No, I remember as we went there for the first time, of course, I was against it.
Who wouldn't?
Yes.
Just being a girl.
It's a huge instrument.
That accordion thing is absolutely not girlish.
Yes, but I think that even an accordion would be greater because you can perform tangos, Argentinian tangos, and it's very nice. But on bayan, I think that the only thing that you can perform is some Tatar songs, which is not very cool. I was against it.
How old were you at that time?
I think I was, it was my third year at school, probably 9 years old. And she said, stop crying, I will give you to the violin class. And I hated it. I think that all my teachers hated me. I was a very bad student. And as you know me, it is very hard to imagine me as a bad student because usually I tend to study hard. But at that time, I hated it. I hated my musical school. I hated my teachers. And I think that they had the same feelings for me. They hated me as well. I was one of the solos in our choir. They never gave me any opportunity to sing solo with a choir, because singing with a choir is not very interesting. Only when you sing all by yourself, it's nice. So this woman who was the head of the choir, she said, okay, I will give you the part. I worked very hard on it. When the day came of the concert, I see that she asked another girl, another soloist, to go there and to perform. And I came up to her and asked why, and she said, well, Landish, I think that it is easier to train a monkey to perform better on the stage than it is to train you. And I was so devastated. And I think that it was the same year that I left the school. I always wanted to go to the art school, but my mother never let me do that.
Why? That was going to be my next question.
Yes, she thought that all of them were alcoholics.
So she had a lot of prejudice on artists.
Yes.
So, and how old were you when you started painting? Do you remember, or it was from the very beginning?
It was from the very beginning. I drew everywhere, usually on wallpaper. And my parents tried to fight it, tried to tell me that it's wrong to draw on papers. And probably after a few months, they decided to give up again and just let me draw wherever I could. So all my wallpapers, even my ceiling, was in some small drawings. And once my mother placed me in the hallway and I stood there, the wall was behind me. So I stood close to the wall and she scolded me. She said, it's wrong to draw on papers. Don't do it. And I just nodded. I said, yes, all right, I won't do it. She said, okay, go then, go and play. And I went away and she saw that behind me where I stood with a crayon and I draw a face right on the wallpaper.
A devilish face.
So it was useless.
So when did they change their attitude? I mean, when did your parents realize that it was not just a bad habit, it was not just something that they have to fight with? When did they realize that you actually have a talent?
I don't think that they actually realize it even now. because something like that, actually, it is a very bad thing to have that that kind of attitude in family. When they think that it's not very serious, it's very hard to imagine that someone can actually make money by drawing, selling their paintings and drawing. They consider it a job when you go somewhere for 8 hours, 8 or 9 hours, and then you come back. This is the job.
Mm-hmm. But when you create something, this is just like a hobby.
It's like a hobby. It's child's play. I don't think that they consider it even now. I have a book printed, so I sell some of my paintings and drawings. I do it for money. But it's still not considered a job. It's fine. I understand it, so it's all right. But it's very hard to have it, that kind of attitude,
well,
when
of
you're
course. I think if each of us needs some kind of support from our family, mm-hmm. and if we do not get, or if we for some reason do not feel this support, then of course we feel very lonely maybe. But anyway, dear listeners, Landish is a very talented artist and illustrator, and I think I should publish a link to your portfolio in our group so that you can visit and look at her work with your own eyes. She's a great illustrator, and I think you never went to any kind of art school, did you?
No, never.
Yeah,
never.
So she's self-taught, which is, I think, really awesome. I will definitely publish the link to your portfolio today, so you can visit. How did you decide to switch to linguistics? I mean, with you being so fond of painting and drawing, at what point did you decide to study languages, and why did it happen?
I think that I really had no choice, actually. I think that it was, first of all, it was a cowardice on my part, because if I compare myself to my brother, he was a lot more maybe adventurous or stronger than me, because he decided to move to another city. I decided to stay, although I knew that there are some very nice art schools where I could go. But no, first of all, I thought that it would be too expensive for my parents. So I really had no choice, because there wasn't any choice of universities in our city.
Well, you could have gone to the Polytechnical University, or how was that called?
I know, I wasn't very interested in that. And we met a woman who recommended our university. Uh-huh. And I thought, why not? So you are so young when you decide your career, mm-hmm. when you decide your future. And for me, it was, I don't say that it was a mistake, because it formed me, it molded me, it made me who I am right now. Mm-hmm. So I do not regret going to our university.
Were you good at English before you actually entered the linguistic university?
I was interested in it. I was interested in English. I studied it by myself, because our teacher at school, she was horrible. She was a very nice woman. She had studied German, mm-hmm. and she tried to teach English, which is different in some ways, in many ways. So it was a bit of a disaster at school. And I decided to study it myself, and then I went to the classes before entering the university. It was a year of studying English and Russian literature. It was so exciting. I loved it. And I knew that I entered the university even before I finished the school. So the last year of school was just not very interesting for me. So I remember that I finished with a golden medal. I didn't actually deserve it, because I didn't do anything for it to earn it. It just was for the school itself. And at school, they never liked me. I don't know why. they never liked me in the musical school. They never liked me in my normal school. I was some kind of a, I don't know. I was all by myself. So no one really liked me. No one liked my attitude. The only time when I found peace was when I entered the university, and I found people who were just like me. And it was very nice. I think that I missed those 5 years of the university very much. During the next 2 years after graduating, it was very hard for me not to go somewhere, not to study something. Of course, I understand that I study by myself. I study French. I study interesting new things. But still, I miss the company, mm-hmm. the company of fellow students, of teachers. I miss the whole fact of being taught, being a student.
Tell me about your first love. Did you fall in love?
My first love was when I was in kindergarten.
So you can still, even now, you consider that to be your first love.
Yes.
It wasn't infatuation.
No, I was in love and it was very serious. And I think that I fell in love with that boy because of his looks, because he was one of the... You can't say handsome, because at that age you can't be handsome.
He was pretty looking, good looking.
Yes, he was good looking. And I remember that I was jealous of another girl whose name was Sveta, if I'm not mistaken. And she was blonde, you know, typical blonde, typical. Yeah. And I was so jealous, and I always made some scenes around him and her. And I said that he's mine, you know, like romantic comedies / dramas. And yes, that was my first love. And after that, actually, no, nothing. Even I had an infatuation with one doctor when I was at the university. And that's it. It's very difficult for me to, I don't know why. I think I always thought that men are scared of me.
Very interesting. Why?
Yes, I have no idea.
You are quite good looking. You're a pretty young lady, not stupid, and very interesting to talk to and to communicate to. Why do you think that men are scared of you?
Well, first of all, in our city, I cannot find anyone who I would be interested in.
Well, this is another point, you know? this is different. Okay.
Yes, and I tend to avoid the company of such men. It's not interesting. Maybe there are some, but it's hard to find them.
Yeah.
They're not everywhere. And I think that the fact that in our university there were mostly girls, very few young men, it also played some kind of a part in this.
How is the process of creating art going on? Do you still have an idea? Do you first have an idea in your mind and then reproduce it on paper, or do you just start with the process, you get the idea?
I agree with you when you speak about Lady Gaga that there must be a message. Every artist has to have this message. All starts with the idea.
What kind of message do you have? Do you already have this kind of message, or are you still in the process of finding one?
I'm still in the process. I think that I haven't yet developed entirely my style. I think that it's still very far away from me. I still have to reach it. I still have to do a lot of work to become an accomplished artist in my own eyes. Right now, I think that it's not very serious what I do. I do have an opportunity to do that right now, but you have to have this inspiration, I guess. I tend to have a lot of inspiration when I travel, it's obvious. And when I visit a lot of different galleries and museums, it's not because of ideas, because I never steal the ideas, although it's very hard for an artist not to steal any ideas.
Exactly.
Because when the artist develops...
Unconsciously, you unconsciously steal these ideas.
Yes. Because
You realize, oh my God, it's not mine.
But it is essential, it is important for an artist's career. And after that, when he works and works, he develops his own style. It's inevitable. It always happens like that. Everyone is influenced by something. But when I go to the galleries and museums, I see that people do that. People do that. I think that I think too much, and it's a big problem in my life. I think that maybe no one really needs it, because, well, what is a painting? It's just what you hang on the wall. I overthink it. I start doubting myself, my art, whether anybody needs it. You always think about an audience. You can't do it just for yourself. You do it for other people to understand your message, because what is art other than letting other people know what's in your mind, giving your own maybe ideas, giving the message. Even right now, when you post some of my this doodles, what we call them, doodles, on Linguista page, I think that I check it maybe 20 times a day just to see if anyone likes it. Because it is important for me, of course. So for me, going to those galleries and museums is checking that people do that, that people go to the galleries and that people are interested in what other people want to say, to express. So that's important for me. And if I don't, I do start doubting, and I tend to give up and to do maybe some other things that I consider more important. But actually, this is what is important. This is my personality, and I have to express it. I still don't think that I have decided. As you said, you are a chaotic person. You tend to do this and then start get interested in that. I'm not that different from you. I'm interested in a lot of things and I still haven't decided what I want to be. I'm interested in linguistics. I do love languages. I love teaching, although I think that I still probably in not that position that I can be a teacher, because I think that I still have to learn a lot. Teaching is something which leads to a lot of responsibility. And I stumbled upon a phrase. I watched Stephen Fry, and he speaks a lot about Oscar Wilde and Evelyn Waugh and Woodhouse. And he quoted Oscar Wilde. And I think that it speaks about me, probably about my life, and probably about yours as well, and a lot of other people's lives. Wilde said that if you want to be a grocer or a general or a politician or a judge, you will invariably become it. And that is your punishment. If you never know what you want to be, if you live what I call the artistic life, if each day you are unsure of who you are and what you know, you will never become anything, and that is your reward.
Very interesting.
I always wanted something definite in my life. And I think that when I heard it, I think that maybe I shouldn't look for something definite in my life. Maybe it's all right to not to know what you want to be.
And again, quoting Oscar Wilde, I remember that he said that there's no such thing as a good book or a bad book. Books are well written or badly written. That's all. And basically, that was from the Portrait of Dorian Gray. I think he also expressed his attitude towards the morality of art in general. He said that there is no such thing as immoral in art. What is the purpose of art for you? Is it just simply to entertain people, as you said, to tell the viewer your message, or there's something beyond the surface, something that is hidden from ordinary viewers?
When we were in the university, we had the topic of art, and we had a teacher I never really liked. And she expressed the idea that art is only for decoration, that people from the very ancient times tend to cover their walls with paintings. I never really thought of art serving only that purpose of decoration. I thought that it was some kind of a tool, an instrument, maybe to... You can't say teach people, yeah?
Why not?
Yes, probably teach. So that's why I thought that it was this instrument of letting people know and giving them some ideas. And that's why I'm very much interested in the storyline, because right now I'm interested in writing, and that's why I really like, and I always liked even before that, the paintings tell the story. And when you can see the story behind it, you can also see a soul of the artist behind it. And I always liked people on painting. So I'm not a person who is interested in landscapes or still lifes. I was never interested in that. I always drew people, women and men. And the most interesting thing for me is actually the soul of person and the beauty of the human body. That's probably the most beautiful thing to my mind, which exists in our world. I always liked that when you can see the expression of a face. And actually, among all Russian artists, I think that there are some of them which are very, very talented, and some of them even geniuses. There was, if you know, I think that you know, Repin. This is the kind of art which I like. I don't speak about classical art. I mean the type of the ideas which an artist gives. And there you can see a lot of different people. There are some paintings, incredible paintings in Ruskiy Museum, in St. Petersburg, where there are crowds of people on his paintings, and each face has a certain emotion, expression, and it is incredible how he manages to express it on the painting. Besides that, I can't say that I like certain directions of art. I love novelty as well as some classical paintings. For example, I'm very interested in modern artists and paintings, and I try to read about them to be well informed about new directions in art. And I really enjoy going to modern museums, because some of them are very interesting and very nice. Some of them are rubbish, of course, but you can't get rid of it. I never really liked Tretyakovskaya in Moscow. For me, it's too boring. Although there are some, like, Brylov, because I love him. I love his portraits. He's very tender. There are a lot of artists that I love. In Russia, art is still in the past. Maybe it depends on our mentality, the Russian mentality. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard, you know, to get rid of these roots and do something interesting, although there are some quite interesting artists. But those Russian artists who do something new for us, it is usually not very new for other people like European or Americans. Usually influence from the West. It always is seen in our artists. That's why I'm not interested in Russian artists, because it's all the same. But when you go to Europe, for example, when I am in France, I can feel that liberty, and I start to paint, to draw, because of this liberty. When you think that you are free, finally free, but when you're back in Russia, it's all the same, the classical painting, academic paintings. It never really inspired me. I usually go for something new, some new ideas, some new ways of expressing them.
Is there anything that you regret about? Something that you always wanted to do and you didn't have a chance to, or you never did it for some reason?
I try to live my life not looking at the past. Or when I look at the past, I try to see a lesson in it and not to do this, like Pavlov's dog. Mm-hmm. I never regretted probably I regretted it when I was younger, not going to any art school, art college, because if you remember when...
I think you should be thankful not to go to art school.
Yes, I know. Right now I can see that.
They didn't spoil you, you know.
I tried to enter the Art Academy in St. Petersburg. Professor looked at my works and he said, oh, well, it's all very nice, but we need people who can draw. And I said, all right, okay, if you don't like it, I don't think that this is the place where I have to be.
You know, I think you are a very strong personality, and it's great that such words do not discourage you, do not disappoint you, because if I were in your shoes and someone told me, which actually happened in my past, mm-hmm. when someone told me that your work is rubbish, we need some art, and this is not art, I would really be at a loss, and I would probably stop doing that. Mm. Although that would be probably the wrong thing to do, because it is very subjective. It is his opinion, not objective opinion, yeah. You know? That's why I think that this is really great that you haven't bought it, that you haven't eaten that, you know? Mm. So this is really great. Dear listeners, Landish is, as I have already said, is a very talented artist and a very great linguist, and I'm very happy to be working with her on this project, linguistov.ru, which we started not a very long time ago, and I think we are doing quite good because we are both quite creative and enthusiastic about what we are doing, so I'm sure we are going to do a great project together.
At least we will enjoy it.
Well, we are actually enjoying the process. Yes. I think this is all that matters.
We do love it.
As one of my friends who listened to our first episode of our podcast said, he said, well, it doesn't matter that nobody listens to you. You guys are having fun. It's like
we do.
It's like Vecherny Urgant. You are having fun, and it's not important that you have no listeners. And I guess this is the essence of what we do. We are enjoying ourselves, and if someone joins us, well, welcome.
We do have this English club every Saturday at 2 p.m. Moscow time. Did you get this joke? I sent you the joke about the rules of the English club.
Yeah, the first rule of the English club is that we have no rules.
No. There is no English club. It's the fight club.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But no one got it. Because I told it during the English club. We had four guys, as usual. We never have girls in our English club. It's so disappointing at times. Although I enjoy the company of men, it's very interesting with them, but still, I think that
we will
lack women. And I said the joke, I said, please look at the rules of our club. And the first rule of the English club is that there is no English club, and no one got it.
I guess maybe they haven't watched it, or they don't know the English equivalent for the this kind of phrase.
Probably they watched it in Russian. That's disappointing. And we had Ivan there, and he asked us to tell why we left the United States.
So, can you answer this question? Today is your...
You are going to answer it in the next time.
Yeah. So why did you leave the United States?
I never wanted to stay there. I went there out of curiosity because I had an opportunity to see the world. That's why I went there. And it was very interesting for me. I learned a lot. I saw a lot of people, very interesting people. I spent there quite a long time. It was very interesting. I was there a henna tattoo artist, which was exciting. We were in Ocean City in Maryland. And they had this boardwalk, as that kind of towns always have. Right next to us was a bar. And all people from this bar just went straight to us every night. I made a lot of tips during that time. I never liked that kind of culture. Maybe at that time it was a kind of influence from my university. But I was more interested in the old world rather than the new world. Although maybe right now I would probably stay, but I still doubt it. I want to go and live somewhere, maybe in Italy or France, probably France. France is my kind of country. I love France, especially the south of France. I told you that I am not planning to stay in Russia. If I have an opportunity to go somewhere, I will go. But the United States, I don't know. Besides, when you go there, you don't really have any rights. You are an immigrant, and most of them are illegal immigrants. And as you know, more than half of our friends are married there and have their children there. And I never think that I was born for that kind of life, to be an illegal immigrant there. I don't know. It never fascinated me, that kind of thing.
Okay, so Ivan, hopefully your question is answered.
Not really, but yeah, maybe you get the idea.
Well, I do. I get the idea.
Yeah.
We do teach English on Skype. You can visit our website. It's www.lingvistov.ru. You can visit our groups in social networks, and you can email to us. What's our email address?
It's info@lingvistov.ru.
Yeah, so we are very creative, very enthusiastic, and we will be very happy to help you with your English language acquisition, with any questions that you may have. All right, so we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, talk to you next week.
And stay tuned. Bye. I just made up my mind early in the morning. I even washed my hair. So I was like...